The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
A pleasant good evening to you from the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Halas Hall. Zach Zaidman joined by a man that Phil Emery likes to call one of the eighth wonders of the world, the veteran long snapper, a guy who's played more games in a Bears uniform than anyone who has ever played for the Chicago Bears organization, dating all the way back to 1920 when they were the Decatur Staleys, talking about the captain, Patrick Manley. Welcome aboard.
It's good to be back.
How's the calf? We're going to take weekly checks on you.
It's doing a lot better. Honestly, it's doing a lot better. We're progressing at a much faster rate now.
Are you still doing the art machine?
I am. I am still doing it, and it's still painful, and it's still not fun, but it works.
Got a lot of questions about quarterbacks this week, mm-hmm. and guys who have tried to tough it out and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Jay Cutler's got the cast on his high ankle, so he wasn't available. Jordan Palmer is busy with Josh McCown prepping for the game. And I said, I need a quarterback. So we decided to go for the next one, the next man up after the next man up after the next man up, and that is wide receiver Earl Bennett. Hey, Earl.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic. So what's it like this week? Are you spending more time in the quarterback's room or the wide receiver room? Because last week we had a backup quarterback who's now the starter but who played receiver when he was in Detroit in Josh McCown.
Uh-huh. No, I've been in the wide receiver room, just hanging out in there. But, you know, if they need me, I'm ready to go.
I think it's something I would like to see, but I don't ever want to see you at quarterback. What are we gonna see?
Like, I would be
how's the arm? Is it more running? The arm? The hand? Is the handoff pretty good to Forte?
Yeah. I was working on my 3 and 5 steps drop the other day. So.
What's your best route you can throw?
Slant, post, deep ball, anything.
Throw them all.
Yeah. Listen, trust me, you're a quarterback guru. You can't help if you have to play quarterback in this offense. I mean, as we've seen, everyone
you
succeeds.
Just produce.
Yeah. If my number's called, I'm ready to go. I know Pat has high confidence in me to go out and lead the team.
Is it going to be difficult to properly feel confident in the receivers when Earl Bennett isn't out there to catch your passes?
Yeah, I'll be confident. You know, we got Brandon, we got Alshon, Martellus, and we got Marquise. So we have a lot of guys out there that can make plays. It'll just be up to me to get those guys the ball.
Who are you looking at? Who's your number one target?
I'm looking for everybody, to be honest. I'm looking for everybody.
He's like McCown.
Check down.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Just execute the offense and get first downs.
Going through
points.
My progression. 1, 2, 3. It ain't there. Hit the check down.
Or pull it down and run it.
Oh, yeah. That always works.
Now, in all honesty, we're talking with wide receiver Earl Bennett. And for people who don't know, he is the emergency quarterback. So if something should happen to all three guys, and we already know that Jay Cutler's not playing this week against the Ravens, if for some catastrophic reason McCown and Palmer both went down this week, Earl would be the next man up. Are you frightened by that opportunity?
No, I'm excited about it.
Really?
Fun.
These are the Ravens. They're coming at you.
That's fine.
But you can do whatever you want. No lose situation. Just have fun, right? If you're in, it's just let's go.
Yeah, it's football. I've been doing it for about 15 years now.
That's kind of the way I felt when I was kind of the eighth lineman on game day back when I was fatter. That if I ever got in, it didn't matter. I mean, we're probably losing by a lot, and then just have fun with it.
All right, help me understand this, because I've asked Patrick Manley this question, and it seems no matter what position anyone plays, when you guys warm up on the field before games, everyone always tosses the ball around like they're a quarterback.
Yeah, everybody wants to be a quarterback. That's like the number one thing growing up. Everybody say, what position you want to play? Is quarterback first, running back second. Everybody.
So how do you end up as a receiver?
You just get stuck out there. The coach say, hey, you look like you can catch. You go out there and catch some balls.
Was it because your quarterback skills weren't good enough?
It all started when I was 7. I wasn't a great player, so they put me on the offensive line. And then in middle school, I played running back, and they said I wasn't good enough. And once I got to high school, they put me at receiver and quarterback.
Gotcha. Well, see, my 8th grade year, I went to a new school, and I wanted to be a quarterback as well. And that lasted maybe half the year. And they put my hand on the ground and said, no, come on. You know, they were, I guess it was more of a way to get me to come back out and play football again. And once I put my hand on the ground, they said, no more quarterback for you. But I think every kid, when they're a kid, they want the ball in their hands. They
want
to throw it.
Everybody
want
to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman. I grew up watching Steve Young.
Yeah, you want to be like Joe Montana, throw the touchdown, put your arms up like it's good. You know, that's what you dream of. That's what you did in the backyard.
But seriously, since you don't take any reps on the practice field as a quarterback, when do you find time to prepare just in case? Because you never know.
He went to Vanderbilt.
I have my time to prepare. I have two kids at home that I can throw the ball to. I can get some handoffs, get some snaps from my wife. So, you know, I'll make it work.
Before we get to the real quarterbacks, something that I do want to hit on because it's been a popular topic of conversation this week. Patrick Mandelli's along. I'm Zach Zaidman. Earl Bennett is here. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall. Brandon Marshall, he's not shy, usually makes grandiose statements. Is that a fair way of putting it? And he looked at the numbers, and the numbers say, from a receiving standpoint, there's not a better tandem in the NFL right now in receiving yards than the combination of Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. You've been in this league a while. You play those positions. How impressive are they compared to the rest of the league?
It's very impressive. Those guys that go out each and every weekend, they produce. They are quarterback friendly. They catch the ball. And the most important thing is that they're real good after the catch. You know, you have a lot of guys that catch the ball and they just get down. But with those two guys, they catch the ball and they get a lot of rack.
I mean, I think that's, you know, you hear Coach Trestman talk about rack a lot. That's receive. What is rack exactly?
Run after catch.
Yeah, there you go. Run after catch. And he always talks about that. I think those two guys are great. I think all you guys are great at it. But watching you guys at practice, you know, you have those two stars, but the rest of the guys are super competitive and work extremely hard when they're running routes. Everything's full speed. It looks like you guys are in and out of your breaks full speed, so every little practice rep is almost like a game rep. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, and that's our mentality. That's why we do a lot of competition, and for us it's about getting the right look. You never know how the defense is going to play, and we know what type of defense ours is. But for us, we always want to make sure that we're sinking our hips, getting in and out our routes, catching the ball and turning up and getting some rack.
And can you, in a way that people can understand, explain to us why Alshon Jeffrey is so successful running that end around?
He's sneaky fast. He's a long strider, and for him, once he get the ball, you can see it. Like, he just takes off immediately, and you can see a lot of guys who have pretty good angles, but he still outruns them.
So you're not that guy?
Yeah, I'm an end-around guy.
The reason I ask is because we've seen times where you've done it, Devin Hester has done it, but and with all due respect, I'm not trying to knock either one of you, but when Alshon does it, it seems as though even though they know it's coming, they still can't stop it, the other team.
Yeah, like I said, he's a sneaky player. He's one of those guys that when you see him run, you don't think he's running fast until you chase him.
That's pretty good stuff.
I think he put it best. He's sneaky fast. As soon as he gets the ball, the long stride, he doesn't look like he's going fast, but the next thing you know, he's past
the
first down
marker.
And he
can turn it on a dime. Yeah. It's not as though he needs to take an extra step to accelerate.
Right.
It just kind of happens.
It goes.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll find out what's going on with the real quarterbacks coming up next here on Bears All Access. Earl Bennett is our guest. Patrick Mandelli is here for the full hour. So it's always a treat. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score. Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network of shows. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Mandelli, our guest for the hour is wide receiver Earl Bennett, who probably knows Jay Cutler as well as anybody in the Bears locker room. And the thing that amazes me about Cutler is you never know when he's hurt. You don't know. You guys know, but if you're watching on TV, you have no idea what's hurting him. You might know that he's in a little bit of pain, but this guy, when he broke his thumb, continued to play, finished out the game against the Chargers in 2011. He had that concussion against the Giants, had to fight the medical staff. They finally kept him in the locker room, would not let him play in the second half. The MCL injury in the NFC Championship game, you know, he tried to gut it out in the second half, you know, the knees shaking in the huddle, and then finally had to be pulled out of the game. He didn't like that. And then this time around, You know how hard it is to come back from a groin injury. And in 18 days, he was fully cleared. Goes out and plays in the first half and looks okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't tell anything was wrong. And then I guess with 2:56 left to go in the second quarter, during that drive where the red zone interception was thrown, I guess he had his ankle rolled on. Stephen Tulloch hit him. I think Bushrod fell on him as well. And fought through that, kind of shook the leg a little bit on the sideline. At halftime, gets treated and tries to gut it out in the second half. Now, do you guys know this at the time?
I kind of saw something. I actually was walking off the field with him at halftime and was asking him about it. And he won't admit it. I think we've finished the part that he's not tough. he's like, oh, it's just a little ankle. You know, it's all right. I'll be fine. And the other thing about him is he knows he's the leader of the team. He doesn't want us knowing there's a problem. And I think that says a lot about him being a leader that, you know, we're going to follow him no matter what, and he's going to, you know, follow us being a tough guy. Or we're going to follow him being a tough guy.
Mark Trestman took a lot of heat this week because people said, well, why is he in the game if he's not 100%? Your game plan's limited. But, I mean, you look at some of those throws in the third quarter specifically, you know, that bullet pass to Alshon that, you know, what's the old saying in the NFL? If you're a receiver, the ball hits you in the hands, you got to make the catch, right?
Right. Yeah, he made some phenomenal throws. And as I mentioned, it's up for us to make those plays. But as Pat mentioned, he won't tell you anything. He's like, yeah, I'm okay. I'll be all right, just a little ankle. He's one of the toughest competitors I've ever played with. And he loves playing. And he's going to stay in the game until, like you said, the medical staff takes him out.
Now, he went to Mark Trestman at one point in the second half. And I think this is before his last drive. And he said, you know, Am I doing okay? Am I hurting the team? So he was conscious of it, and he felt that something wasn't right where he couldn't function at his high level of performance. As players, what are your thoughts when a guy's out there? Because it's a difficult challenge, because you understand that when the quarterback gets removed from the game, it changes everything.
Yeah, it definitely changes a lot, but we have a lot of faith in Josh and the great job that he's been doing, especially the Redskins game when he came in and helped lead us in the Packer game that we went up in Lambeau and won. So, you know, we have great confidence in Josh, but we know Jay is our leader. And it's always tough to see him go down. But when you got somebody like Josh backing him up, you know, you just rally behind him.
Now, take me through the mentality, because I think a lot of times people just think that, you know, a player gets hurt, you're going to just admit it to the, hey, you know, I'm not feeling right, take me out. But you can't play this game if you're like that.
From day one, from, you know, I think I started in second grade, this game is for tough people, and you're kind of taught to tough it out, you know, and you don't, and there's a difference between being injured and being hurt, and you can go into that, but it's just our mentality as football players that we don't want to come out, we want to play through it. And what Jay did, I think, of asking, is he doing okay, speaks more volumes to him being a leader. Again, he doesn't want to hurt the team, and he didn't make it vocal or a spectacle in front of the team or anything. He was asking his head coach and his backup, am I doing okay? Because he wants to perform well. And if he's not, put Josh in, because like Earl said, he's very, very capable.
Because I don't think you can win as an athlete if something like that happens. Because if you go back to the NFC Championship game, he didn't say anything, didn't even show signs publicly. So people thought, he's just having a bad game, you know. He just asked out of the game. He didn't ask out. He was pulled out of the game because the medical staff felt it would get worse and he couldn't function properly. And he took heat for that. Now he comes back quickly from the groin injury, gets the clearance from the doctors. They don't just randomly throw you out there. I mean, you got to go through a lot of drills for the doctors to give you the thumbs up to be able to play. And then he's fighting through the ankle injury during the game, and then he gets criticized for that. And then I look at Derrick Rose, who's as big of a star as you find. You know, wasn't he medically cleared, and didn't he take a lot of heat? Because even though the doctors gave him clearance, he didn't feel right and didn't – what's the balance as an athlete here?
I think it's – you know, fans have their opinion. They have their right to their opinion. But as players, we know our bodies better than anybody. We know it better than the trainers know, better than the coaches do. If you want to talk about Derrick Rose's situation, I was maybe one because I had an ACL injury that I thought he should come back. But now looking at the way I feel now compared to 8 to 12 months after my ACL injury, I feel 100 times better than I did. And then back to Jay, that you know your body better, and you need to make, you know, help have people help you make the decision, but you know best.
And Earl, you've had some serious injuries on the field, whether it be the concussion, you know, you had the lacerated liver at one point during your career. and you've tried to fight these injuries during the game.
Yeah, there are some injuries that you try and fight and just try to play through, but then there are some injuries you're just like, there's no way I can keep going. Because the New Orleans game, when I lacerated my liver, I actually went to the sideline, rode the bike, kind of shook it off, and I came back in the game, and then I went go and make a block, and I'm like, yeah, it's something wrong. And I ended up getting checked at halftime and understood that I had a lacerated liver.
Lacerated liver?
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, my good, how does that happen?
Just the impact.
And you tried, you went back in the game.
Yeah, I went back in the game. I shook it off. Well, I went and rode the bike.
But you said something's not right. What? He rode the bike. Yeah, yeah. I mean.
Oh, riding the bike just cures all. If you watch guys on our sideline, they get on the bike, they ride the bike, and it's like the healing machine.
Yeah, that's true.
So what? What?
That's true.
But, what felt wrong? I'm not trying to make fun. I mean, that was a serious deal because I remember that when you come back, and knowing Earl, and you know this, Pat, when he comes back to the sideline, if Earl's not feeling right, you know, he's a fighter. Mm-hmm. But when he's – you can tell when something is seriously wrong. So it has to be seriously wrong for you not to go – what did it feel like?
I just had a lot of pain in my stomach, in my chest area. And so when I went to block the guy, it – like, I just felt like something was about to explode inside of me. And so I just went to the sideline. I was like, yeah, there's something wrong. And it was like, all right, we'll check you at halftime.
Like I said, players know their bodies. And they it is. It's something – like, I had my calf injury in Green Bay, and it was bad, but you can play through it because I kind of – I need you can play through certain things, but like that, you just know. Like, when I did my knee, I was like, that's my ACL, I'm done. And you just know. Players know their body better than anybody else.
And you know that that's the same day that Cutler broke his thumb when he tore the ACL, and it's like no one even cared about Patrick Mahomes' injury.
And my wife didn't either.
She's like, how's Jay?
Yeah, exactly. What's going to happen to the season now?
Is it – how excruciating is it to have to watch a game in inactive gear because you're not healthy enough to be out there?
It just doesn't feel right. It feels like you're almost kind of in a dream world, like you're watching like a fake TV. It just doesn't – the whole day doesn't feel right. From when you wake up in the morning, your nerves don't turn on, to when you drive into the stadium, it just doesn't – nothing feels right. It just is really weird.
I just feel bad because I'm not able to go out there and help my team. It just feels like Pat said, it just feels like a dream. Like what's going on? Like, why am I not in there right now?
Somebody else is playing your position. That's another thing. Wait a minute. Somebody else can do what I can do?
That's got to be scary. Because, I mean, this is what have you done for me lately?
Oh, it is.
So
yeah.
If you open the door for somebody, you never
That's
know.
That's why a lot of guys come back from injuries early.
Mm-hmm. And that hopefully gives you an understanding of everything that's taken place at Halas Hall over the last few weeks. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have a little fun, take it easy a little bit with Are You a Bears Authority, the highest-rated segment on the radio program. Earl's smiling. That means he's ready for some competition next, right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sunday's game against the Ravens is brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink beverage of the Chicago Bears. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Dr. Pepper car flag. Dr. Pepper, always one of a kind. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, long snapper Patrick Manley, and our guest for the full hour, wide receiver Earl Bennett. You know, Earl's got this phenomenal collection of sneakers. He's got a closet probably the size of, I don't know, Ted Washington. And he's got all these different shoes. What do you have on today? Looks like a UAB special.
I have on the Retro 1 Celtics.
He's our team fashionista.
He is. Fashionista.
Okay. His sweater game is out of control, too. He's not wearing one today. But it's amazing. He's like, you know, in Europe, the styles are way ahead of us.
Yes.
He's way ahead of Europe.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Europe follows Earl.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. He's got game.
No, Italy comes to him.
Yeah,
that's pretty impressive. Because I know Martellus Bennett is big on the European chic look. Mm-hmm. You know, all the tight clothes that they wear out there. Earl was way ahead of the game.
Oh,
Earl
yeah.
was wearing the skinny jeans before people knew what to call them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, fashion is a way of life, and for me, I try and stay a step ahead of everybody.
Were you that way in college as well?
No, I was broke in college.
I was waiting for that.
I was joking with Cutler about this last year because, you know, something changed. Wardrobe-wise, you know, he stepped up his game. Maybe it's the peer pressure from you. And I thought it coincided with the fact that, you know, he finally met the woman he's going to settle down with. And he goes, no, man, I started making some money. I didn't have this kind of money in Denver. I go, and obviously they didn't have hairstylists back there either, because I'm telling you.
He spends a lot of money on hair product. He has to. Don't you think so?
Yeah. I think he do. It's pretty sweet now, though.
I mean, right, because think about it. It was the magazine shoot when he came here. Go look back at his first press conference with the Bears when they introduced him. You know, Jerry Angelo brings him out, and, you know, Bears brass, everyone's happy because it was like the Bears won the Super Bowl when they acquired Cutler. And, you know, he's got the hair. It looked like a bowl, basically. Yeah.
The frat look.
He called it his happy stage because the nutrition wasn't what it is now.
They had a picture of him up on the board the other day back when it might have been a Denver picture or whatever, but he was a little heftier. And you could just hear the room just giggle just because the transformation he's made from his happy days to today. And it's just, you could just hear everybody laughing, and you knew exactly what it wasn't just a picture of him. It was a bunch of quotes and stuff that Coach Stressman had up there, but his picture was up there, and you could just hear the room giggling. He knew exactly what they were laughing at.
And Earl, you're going to love this. I believe, and if I'm wrong here, just tell me that I'm wrong, but I believe that Jay purposely made sure that he wouldn't have to wear a baseball cap on the field when he was inactive for the Green Bay game.
He probably did.
Did you go up to him and
I asked
and
him about
him?
It, yeah. Well, his hair wasn't his best hair game. I told him that, but he did. He made sure his hair was looking good on the sidelines, so he did not. That is true, but it was – if grading his hair games were like, you know, the preseason or whatever, this was not a good one.
I guarantee you, knowing that he's had a full week now to know that he's not playing against Baltimore, and it's a home game.
Yeah.
You
know, probably gone to see his stylist.
You know, CBS is sending the number one crew of Sims and Nance. You know, I mean, a lot of people are going to be watching. I guarantee you he comes out with
He'll have a fresh cut.
Yeah. For sure.
It'll be his Hollywood Nashville look. All right, time now to play Are You a Bears Authority? You know this game well. It's brought to you by Sports Authority. Here's how we play. I ask you a question. If you know the answer, you say your name. Whoever says the name first has an opportunity to answer the question first. If you get it right, we move on. If you get it wrong, the other player has an opportunity to answer the question. It's a best of seven, so whoever has the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Patrick, you're playing for Sean McGinnis from Chicago, and Earl, you're playing for Greg Singer from Lake Forest. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page where you can also listen to all of our shows. Ready for this?
Yeah, here I got to win this with Greg.
Let's go.
Question number one. Which player on the current Bears roster lists Burbank, California as his hometown?
Earl.
Go ahead.
Chris Conte.
Incorrect.
I'm going to go Eben Britton.
Correct. How do you know that?
I hang out with the O-lineman, I'm telling you.
Man, but is he an O-lineman? Because sometimes I see him as an eligible tight end.
Yeah. We need to throw him the ball.
But, you know, funny, every week people will ask freshmen, how much longer can you go with it? But teams...
They do it all across the NFL. Yeah. Don't they do it all across the NFL?
They do it all across.
I don't think he looks back. I think he's afraid that they're going to throw him the ball. He doesn't look back. He just keeps going, you know?
I want to see his touchdown celebration.
Ooh, that'd be good.
I know he has one.
Yeah. He'd have to take off his helmet and shake his long hair, probably, but he'd get fined for it.
There is the potential, guys, for a possible Earl Bennett completion to Eben Britton.
Ooh.
Right?
What's
it
the odds on that?
Potentially happen.
We gotta get together and do a touchdown celebration. It'd be so sweet.
It would be something. I don't know if it would be sweet, but it would be something. All right, so Patrick has a 1-0 lead over Earl Bennett here.
Sorry,
question
Greg.
Number two. Don't worry, there's plenty of time here. Remember, you guys are a fourth quarter team. What is it, 58 plus two?
Let's
Question
go.
Number two. He played football for the University of Pittsburgh and in the NFL for the Patriots, Niners, Eagles.
Patrick.
Go ahead.
Matt Kavanaugh.
Wow. This is getting out of control here.
Come on,
Patrick,
Greg.
When you have been a Chicago Bear since the days of the Decatur Staleys.
He was the offensive coordinator my rookie year.
That is true. And he came back,
that
and
was
you're still around.
Yeah.
That's... And the offense was pretty good, right, when you first got here? No?
No.
No?
No, it was before it was. It went downhill in 98.
As soon as you were acquired.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot right now.
Are you? Right, so it's a 2-0 lead for Patrick. Earl's going to have to be a fourth quarter player here.
Right.
Question number three. Who is the only player on the Bears' current 53-man roster who played at the University of California?
Earl.
Go ahead.
Chris Conte.
Correct. Yeah. See, if you say that name often enough,
gonna
eventually
keep saying it. Each right. answer yes. Chris Conte. I should start saying Josh for each one. At least I'll get one.
Josh has to have one.
It's here. It's a 2-1 lead He's right coming. Now for Patrick over Earl Vennett. Question number 4. This current Bears player was born on the 4th of July in 1979. He plays on the offensive side of the ball.
Patrick.
Go ahead.
Josh McCown.
Yes. Right. You got the Josh McCown question.
Oh.
Every week we try to get. How did you know that?
79. You got me with 1979.
But you had no idea that it's not just America's birthday. It's Josh McCown's birthday.
He is America. He's America.
He is. I called him on the air earlier today the Kofi Annan of the Bears locker room because he's the ambassador. He brings everybody yeah. together.
I was sitting here thinking, like, 79? I was born in 87.
So. Patrick joined the NFL in 87,
yeah,
right?
It was good, yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right, question number 5. No, let's – you know, I had 2 Josh McCown questions here, so I'm not going to ask question number 5. I'm going to go to question number 6 because we got our one McCown question out of the way. Question number 6. How many – and by the way, if you're just tuning in, Patrick's got a 3-1 lead over Earl here on Are You a Bears Authority, meaning Greg Singer needs a big-time comeback from Mr. Bennett. Question number 6. How many interceptions did Tim Jennings have last season for the Bears? Go ahead.
9.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I knew that one.
Right. It's a 3-2 lead. Patrick.
All right.
Over
58
Earl.
Plus 2.
Question number 7. We move to the defensive side of the ball. Where did Shay McClellan play his
Earl.
Call? Go ahead.
Boise.
Correct.
State.
How about that?
My name's not got too many
We're going to overtime here. Are you ready for the tiebreaker? Are you ready for the tiebreaker?
Yes.
All right. It's a 3-3 tie. Here's what's at stake. Sean McGinnis is hoping Patrick gets this right. Greg Singer is hoping that Earl gets this right. And whichever one of you gets it right, that fan gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 3-3 tie. The overtime question. Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long was selected in the first round of this year's NFL draft. What number pick?
Earl.
Go ahead.
14.
Incorrect. Patrick?
I'm going to go 11.
Incorrect. And we will go alternate guesses until someone gets it right.
I can't remember where we – well, no, never mind. Go ahead.
17.
Incorrect.
21.
Incorrect. Earl.
19.
Incorrect. Patrick.
20.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Oh, man.
I thought it was in a
That
team.
Overtime when there's a lot of possessions there. That was
nice
All
job.
Right, Sean.
Man.
Yeah.
Sorry, Greg.
Good guess. Good guess.
Congratulations to Sean McGinnis from Chicago, who wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority courtesy of Patrick Manley. And I can't believe with all the talking that Kyle Long does in that locker room, and apparently he dances now too and sings a little bit. He does a little of everything. I can't believe that he doesn't talk about where he was drafted.
He doesn't self-promote. You know? He just acts. He just acts out, and he's just a big personality.
You know what? Since I lost, I think for Greg, I'm going to give him 2 tickets to the next home game.
How about that?
Yeah, since I lost.
Like this home How game or the next one?
The nice
next
job.
One. Okay.
Give Earl Bennett some credit there.
So Greg Singer?
Yeah, Greg right. Singer from
Greg
Lake
Singer,
Forest.
Greg Singer, I'm putting you down from Lake Forest.
Nice job. Let's give Earl Bennett a round of
Good
applause
man.
Here. Good
now
work.
You're making me look bad.
All right.
Thanks, man. I don't have that many tickets.
Let's take a time out. When we come back, I want to find out about an area that the Bears usually dominate, but they might not be the most dominant team in this area come Sunday against the Ravens. We'll explain next. Earl Bennett is here. Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Enjoy a free Red's Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, Earl Bennett with you here on Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall. I think for people who haven't looked at the stats, it's real simple, this game against the Ravens. They're very good at stopping the run, but they can't run the ball. They've had issues this season, and they've had difficulty putting points on the board. The Bears have not had difficulty, for the most part, this season putting points on the board, but they've had difficulty stopping the run. Eventually, you figure all that stuff will work itself out, but special teams, John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Ravens, before he became the head coach, was a longtime special teams guy in Philadelphia for Andy Reid, same kind of tree that Dave Tobe was under when he was with the Bears, and they are very good. They've got a former Bear in Corey Graham as the anchor on that special teams unit, and the Bears have had some difficulty, and when you consider some of the injuries on defense and guys getting bumped up, that's got to hurt special teams first, right?
It does, but the young guys have been here learning. And as long as you know what you're doing, it's a lot about effort. You were talking about how good they are on special teams. Jerry Rosberg, their special teams coach, has them playing at a very high level. A lot of special teams, they're all good, but there's some that just look better because they play so hard, and they're one of those teams that play real hard. We have to raise our level to their level, and that'll make the difference. I think if you put us two together playing at a very high level, we'll be all right.
Now, it's my understanding that there was one block, or lack thereof, last week that prevented, in all likelihood, a Devin Hester touchdown.
There's been a few times this year, and yes, there was. And we're close. We're very, very, very close. I mean, Earl's been on a few of those, and it's just we're close, but it's one block. You can't have 10 guys participating on a play. You got to have all 11.
Yeah, especially on every special team, all 11 guys got to do their job. Would they be a backside guy who, you know, forgets to set the wrong way and then close? That would be the guy who makes the tackle 20, 30 yards down the field. And if that guy isn't in the play, it's a touchdown. So everybody just got to do their job. And, you know, with the injuries, it's next man up. You know, some of the younger guys got to step up and take on the special team role.
Now, when Mike Brown used to be here, he'd always say backups are backups for a reason. So you can say next man up, but that doesn't mean that that next man is going to produce at the same level.
Mike Brown speaks too much truth. He's a very smart man. I agree with Mike and what he says, but sometimes he speaks too much truth. But special teams is different. Special teams is you all have to be good athletes, but the effort is what I think most makes the difference, and we've got to raise our level of effort.
A lot of people don't know this. We talked about Earl. Everyone knows that Earl has some of the best hands in football. He catches everything thrown his way. He can play every single receiver position that is out there. I think if he had to play running back, he could do it too. We know that he's the emergency quarterback, and I believe you could be a standout punt return man if need be.
He already has been. You returned one against Baltimore last time we were there.
Yeah, I returned I think that was 2009.
Yeah. You might not remember that because you spent a lot of time on Bear Force One, the team plane. Then you had to go home.
That
and
trip
then you had to come
was
back.
Miserable.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
there's
a big
snowstorm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when we all gave Devin a little bit of heat because we were saying it wasn't him, it was the blockers in front.
Yeah, but we had guys that, you know, took pride in what they did, special teams. And, you know, right now we're trying to instill it in the young guys that, you know, we have pride in our special teams here.
You but have to have a special mentality on special teams.
You do, but Earl hit it right. It's you have to finish every play in special teams. Because a lot of time it is, say if you're on kickoff, and we call them the ones that are on the outside, they play safety, and you have a responsibility to block that guy. You feel like you're out of the play, but you have to get there and cut them off, because if Devin gets through the front line, that guy's the safety valve, and you have to go finish it. And a lot of times we're not making that one last block.
But don't you have to also do that on offense if you really want to take, especially with the runs after the catch that you talk about? You can't, even if you're a decoy, eventually you have to get involved in some fashion.
Yeah, even after you run your route, the first thing you do, you have to react. And no matter who has the ball, you got to get your guy, whether it's the safety that's coming, because you never know which way the guy's going to cut back. So you got to get the most dangerous defender.
We got to take a timeout. When we come back, is Earl getting lost in the shuffle here with all these weapons that people are talking about? And how hard is that for an NFL player? That's next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Paying someone back or sending money shouldn't have you running around looking for your checkbook or the right amount of cash.
Where is it?
With Chase QuickPay, you can send money as quickly as sending an email. So you can pay the neighborhood boy for chip in for dinner.
Pizza delivery.
Even pay for spring break.
Thanks, Dad. You're the best.
Chase QuickPay lets you pay almost anyone with an email from your smartphone. It's easy, secure, and it's free. So you can pay the babysitter without ever saying,
honey, have you seen my wallet?
Get Chase QuickPay today so you can send money to almost anyone, anywhere with your smartphone. Chase QuickPay.
so you can.
Chase QuickPay Transfer is available within 1 to 5 business days. Visit chase.com to enroll and for eligible mobile devices, limitations, and details. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Airport, please.
What airline?
United.
Welche Fluggesellschaft?
United.
哪个航空公司?
United.
United flies to more than 350 destinations in over 60 countries. More than any other airline. In every language, that's great big world friendly. United, fly the friendly skies.
Includes flights operated as United Express.
All right, guys, come on in. Grab a Miller Lite and huddle up. Okay. Before we take section 212 of the stadium by storm, I would like to say a few words. Uh-oh. I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
not
sir.
Just anyone can do what you're doing. Can leave the parkas and the jerseys behind and show what fans are really made of.
Right. Just a layer of body paint between us and the elements and the great taste of Miller Lite.
Are we going to shiver?
No.
Are we going to retreat behind blankets just because the wind chill is negative 10 degrees?
No.
Be proud, man.
Right.
Yeah, when the Jumbotron pans the crowd, it'll be looking for us. Yeah.
When the Miller Lite man comes around, he comes around for us.
When wives ask lesser men, how was the game? They will tell the tale of section 212, seats A through F. And what will they say?
Oh, that we're idiots.
Yes! No, that we're diehards. That we never settled for a good time when a great time was there for the taking. Bring it in. Go team on three.
1, 2, 3, go team!
Miller Lite, a light beer that's never light on taste. This is our time. It's Miller time.
Great beer, great responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
When we talk about the Chicago-style stuffed pizza, only one name stands out as the best. Giordano's Pizza. Everyone agrees that for 40 years, the name Giordano's is synonymous with the best pizza anywhere. Generations of families have made Giordano's the number one stuffed pizza that Chicagoans crave. And there is more than the best pizza at Giordano's. Fresh salads, soups, homemade pasta dishes, sandwiches, and more. With 40 locations in Chicagoland, there is a Giordano's near you. For your party needs, dine-in, carry-out, or delivery, visit Giordano's.com.
The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside my co-host Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman. Earl Bennett is with us. And you have had to endure a lot, you know, this season because – yes, it's a new offense, and it's an exciting offense, but because Alshon Jeffrey has emerged, and Brandon Marshall is Brandon Marshall, and Matt Forte is being used correctly, and Martellus Bennett was added to the mix, it's tough to get the ball in this offense, even though, you know, there are a lot of opportunities. How do you deal with that?
To be honest, I feel like my time is coming. I'm just staying patient. Because within this offense, you never know who's going to get the ball 10 to maybe 12 times a game. And for me, it's just about being patient, and I feel like it's coming.
But Earl's a pro. I mean, the best example of that is the Pittsburgh game, the touchdown he had.
How
the ball
awesome
was thrown
that?
To him, he made the play. And I think that's what makes Earl Earl. I think he's as valuable to our team as anybody because of who, like, being the pro he is.
Yeah, and when you have opportunities, you just have to take full advantage of them because you never know how many you're going to get. So whether it's 1, 2, or 3, you got to take full advantage of it because you never know if you're going to get that chance again.
Is that something that Marquise Wilson is learning from studying from guys like you and Brandon and Alshon?
Yeah, he's learned a lot, and he's continuing to develop and become a better player by learning from guys like Alshon and guy from Brandon and myself because we stay on him. And I think he's going to be a real good player.
How much is he learning from you guys as far as blocking downfield? Because I know a lot of college receivers don't like to do that.
Well, he's definitely learning to block here because, you know, we take pride in blocking. We have some of the best backs in the league. And for us, it's about making sure that our guy doesn't make the tackle.
How much competition is there in the room when you guys watch game tape on Monday and – you know, obviously you want your catches and touchdowns.
Yeah.
It looks like you guys take tremendous pride in that when Matt gets on the edge or whatever, you know, Alshon, you or Brandon are locking your guy down.
Yeah, it's a lot of talk going on about that, actually. If my guy makes the tackle, then Alshon will look at me and be like, come on, bro, like, you kind of like hold me accountable for it, and vice versa. But I feel like for us, we wanted to make sure that we got better in a category this year, and we chose blocking because last year we wasn't as good as blocking as we was this year, and so we just wanted to raise our game.
Yeah, and Kromer, I don't think the offensive coordinator who's in charge of the run game, he does not let guys slack off if you're not blocking properly.
Oh, yeah, Coach Kromer, he's going to let you know. Whether you're a wide receiver, a lineman, or a running back, he's going to let you know that, yeah, we need you to make your block.
Yeah, he comes from the New Orleans system, and the Saints do a terrific job of having everyone out there blocking to create open lanes for the running backs. I just think that it's kind of amazing when you think, and Pat, you have an appreciation for this. Earl, remember the first day you walked into Hallis Hall and what that receiver room was like from a talent standpoint? Mm-hmm. From that day to now.
Yeah, it's been a big change. My rookie year when I got in, I didn't even play my rookie year, and I felt like I could have played.
I'm sure you did.
And
who was in that room?
It was Marty Booker, Brendan Lloyd, Devin, Rasheed Davis, and I'm missing one guy. Mark Bradley.
Were you the tallest guy in the room?
Almost.
The that's the only thing. The height has changed. The size has changed.
I think Bradley was the tallest, and I was right behind him.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes think, because it's human nature, like when you see the basketball-sized players that the Bears have in the receiving core now, mm-hmm. Do you ever think, man, if I only had a couple of extra inches, things that I could do out there?
No, because we're all good at something different, and that's what makes our group and unit so good, because you have some guys that on other teams can only do certain things. Well, within our group, you have the big, tall guys, and then you have the small guys too. So we all combine to do different things and to help out the offensive system.
What is your certain skill that you bring? Jay always talks about that you never miss a route. You're always right where you need to be. And
yeah, and I feel like I'm kind of like the quarterback out there with the receivers too. I want to make, like, when I break the huddle, I want to make sure that everybody knows what their assignment is, and I just make sure that we're going to be at the right spot at the right time, and we're not playing around.
We got to take a timeout. When we come back, I'm going to give everyone an illustration of how challenging it is to learn the Bears playbook. I heard Josh McCown kind of run through a play. They're so long. How do you guys get the play in before the play clock runs out? We'll discuss next with Earl Bennett. Patrick Manley's here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaching Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is one of those shows, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zabin. Earl Bennett, our guest here for our final few moments of the radio program. And I was talking with Josh McCown after the big clutch 4th-and-1 play in Green Bay, when Matt Forte got the first down and you guys extended the drive. What was it, 18-play, 80-yard drive, sealed the game, took about 9 minutes. And I asked him after the game on the air, you know, what's that play called? And all I remember is he said like 40 words, and Zeus was one of them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, is that how he calls them?
Yeah, that's how our system is. It's all wording. Like, Mark's system was all numbers. It'll be 585 F-post swing or whatnot. With us, we just call out one word, and everybody pretty much knows what to do.
So to dumb it down, I guess some teams use numbers for protections or numbers for routes.
Yeah.
Some people use words for protections or words for routes.
Uh-huh.
And the one here is more just all that jumbled into one as a concept.
Well, we use numbers for protection. I think pretty much everybody, I think that's like universal. Mm-hmm. And for routes, we just use words.
Okay.
So and just one word will tell like the whole left side what to do. Or tell everybody what to do.
But how long does it take to study all that stuff? Because you know every receiver position.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I know every position.
How? Think how many different offenses you've had to learn in your time. There was Ron Turner's offense, right?
Yeah.
Then you switched over to Mike Martz's offense. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the offense was last year with Mike Tice, but you had an offense. And then now there's this offense with Tressman, which clearly is working because you guys are doing things offensively that we haven't seen in a while. So how do you – how do you forget the previous offense and remember this offense?
Well, from the first position. Two, from Turner and Mike Martz, it's like a combination of both of those.
Okay.
With Turner, it was more wording, like we do now. And with Mike Martz, it was a number system. So what I do, I go back to the number system that we had with Martz, and I just plug it into a word. And that's pretty much what we do here. It's just a word.
That's why he went to Vanderbilt. You know, I couldn't. You probably had like a 9,000 on the Wonderlic. I can't even, and because Trestman, everything there's nothing simple about Trestman. You know, when he talks to the media, it's very long-winded and thorough. I'm sure he's like that in the meeting room with you guys, and I'm sure the playbook is like that. If you didn't have iPads, I'll bet you the playbook would be you know, the size of this room.
Yeah, oh, it probably would be
killing a lot of trees.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff, Earl.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for helping us understand. Yeah, we appreciate it. And I'm sure our fan, Greg Singer from Lake Forest, thanks to Patrick beating you and RU Bears Authority, Greg Singer is going to get two tickets to a game at Soldier Field. Not bad. That's pretty cool.
He should be allowed back every week.
Yeah.
Let me beat him every week.
For our guest, Earl Bennett, Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zabeman, our executive producer, a man by the name of Greg Miller. We call him G-Money. Nick Hefner, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.